In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Double-Edged Sword, a Christian podcast ministry presented by Father Gennard Lazar. Father Gennard is a parish priest of the Mud-Edda Parish of the Assyrian Church of the East in Turlock, California. Here's Father Gennard.
May the blessings of the Holy Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ be bestowed upon each and every one of you, beloved, you and your family, and I pray that you celebrated the amazing event that Christians take so much pride and boast about righteously in our Lord God. For if Christ was not resurrected, St. Paul says, our faith would have been in vain. I wouldn't be doing podcasts if our Lord wasn't resurrected. Idochon ha'abricha, and I pray that you did spend some beautiful and memorable time with your families as we each blessed this resurrection upon one another. I'd like to reflect on the past week. You know, sometimes I wonder, and people ask, and you know, why such severity? What happened to Jesus Christ? Why did he have to go through what we commemorated? The joy, the sadness, the passion, the suffering. Well, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22-23, we read that if a man owes a judgment of death for the sake of sins, and he will be hanged or crucified on wood, he will be killed. His corpse will not remain on the wood, but buried on that day. Because whoever is accursed of God shall be crucified. St. Paul also alludes to this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the written law, which is the curse in Deuteronomy 21, and we'll talk about that. And he became a curse in our place, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. But again, why such severity? Why did God put his son through what we commemorated and celebrated? And we talk about constantly when we talk about Jesus Christ, his life, his mission, his ministry, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. Well, number one, to comprehend God's reaction to sin, beloved. I pray that when we were carrying the crosses in the procession of the Friday of the Sorrow, I pray that on Good Friday or the Friday of Sorrow, when we sang, Lo, the blood of our Lord is flowing, Haba Jiraya Dimmet Maran, I pray that during the procession when we awoken or we proclaim that all the prophets should awake and see the Christ, the Messiah they prophesied, being dragged in the streets, beaten, battered, and being persecuted and receiving this suffering. That we ask ourselves why. And I pray that we come to this conclusion, the severity of sin, the reaction of God to sin, to disobedience to his words, to his statutes, his decrees, his commandments, his instructions. I pray that all this time we remembered, or what came to mind was the neglecting and abusing of his promises. how God reacts today when we neglect and abuse His promises, His love, His grace, His mercy, and His long-suffering, His patience. We take a lot of comfort in that, but we abuse it. And to know how God reacts when we do abuse and neglect, look at what Jesus went through. Secondly, that man's to understand and to fathom or comprehend that man's inability and incapability of receiving God's redemption through the law. Man could not make anything through law. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, "For because the written law was weak," not that God gave a weak law, as some say, no. "The written law was weak through the illness of the flesh," because of our flesh, we were weak. God's amazing salvific plan could not be wrought by men, by the flesh of men, because we were weak, sinners, defiled, fallen. God sent His Son, Paul goes on to say, in the form of a sinful flesh, because of sin, to condemn sin in His flesh. So number one, to know how God reacts to sin. That's why we went through such a severe commemoration. And to understand that man was incapable, helpless, hopeless, could not bring anything to himself. Thirdly, that God's expression of love and His desire for the reinstatement of man. When you wonder why did God put His Son through so much pain and suffering and ridicule, because He wanted to express His love for you and His desire for the reinstatement of you, of men. Why? Because if we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, we know that man, you and I, when I say man, I mean both sexes, both genders, to know that we have been created in the likeness of and image of God. We are not animals. And I always add this, although man is becoming an animal, worse than animals. But we are not animals. God didn't create us animals. God created us human beings, living beings, creators, rational, to have life in ourselves through God. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, Zechariah says this, "Look at the love God has for you and I. Because thus says the Lord God of hosts, after the honor," meaning after, "for honor, He has sent me," says Zechariah, "against the nations that plundered you." Why? "And he who touches you touches the pupil of his eye." We are the pupil of God's eye. You know, in some verses it says the apple. It's not apple. It's a pupil of God's. How protective are we of our eyes? You know, we wear protective wearing and we wear protective guards when we're working in, you know, with some dangerous elements so that our eyes are protected, especially during welding and what have you. So God loves you and I and protects us just as the pupil of his eye. So why did he allow his son to go through that severity to express the love he has for you and I? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." If you want to know how much God loved the world, what was the extent of God's love to mankind? Look at the cross. Look at the ridicule of Christ, the cross, beloved. And lastly, the severity was the extreme measure taken for the cleansing of our sins, beloved. You know, sin is taken so lightly today. And you know what? What annoys me even more is when sin is simply preached that it will simply be forgiven if you just ask God for forgiveness. Well, why didn't Jesus come down and ask his Father to forgive us without going through what he went through? Without persevering what he persevered. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Shall I ask the Lord to take this cup away from me? Is that what I've come for?" No, but this is what I've come for. I'm paraphrasing it. I've come for this suffering. This is what the church celebrated, commemorated for the past week. And I'm sure 99.5%, I won't say 9%, I'll give a benefit of the doubt for the 0.4%. 99.5% of our people did not see the resurrection and the celebrations. You know, the posts were up there. He died for me for our sin, and he was stricken and beaten. Is Jesus Christ a mere post on a Facebook or social media? Is that all what our Christianity is all about? I wonder how we're thinking, how we react today. How are we living our lives today after going through and witnessing through the liturgy, through the church's services, what Jesus Christ went through for you and I, beloved? That's why the church has some extreme gifts, if I may say, or liturgy or sacraments for when someone has sinned. Because if it was as simple as God will forgive you like that, why didn't Jesus forgive us like that? Why didn't God forgive you and I like that? Why did God, again, allow his son to go through that ridicule? Remember, some of the fathers are saying, right, that Jesus was crucified naked. But today he is depicted with clothing, because it was the most ridicule of the ridiculed deaths that Jesus had to die for you and I. The extreme measures taken for the cleansing of our sins. In John chapter 20, verse 23, and this is where the church has liturgies of absolution and cleansing. John 20, 23, when Jesus was resurrected, he entered the upper room. When he had said these things, he breathed upon them and he said to them, "Receive the Spirit of holiness," which means the Holy Spirit. "If you will forgive a man's sins, they will be forgiven him." He gave authority for the church to forgive sins. We too today must confess our sins personally, or we are permitted to seek spiritual counseling for the cleansing of sins. Let me read to you an excerpt from the liturgy of the preparing of the bread. This is what we sing. Our Lord gave the medicine of repentance to the skilled physicians who are the priests of the church. Let him whom Satan has stricken with the wounds of wickedness, meaning sin, come and show his sores. This is confession. Come and show his sores to the disciples of the wise physician, and they will heal him with spiritual medicine, which is the Holy Eucharist. And we have the liturgy of absolution. So where are we today? Yes, Adrena, I'm going to now affect it in our lives. Okay, how do we imply it? Adrena always tells me, Rabbi, be sure you tell everyone, and you tell us, how do we apply it? Let's look at where we are today. Apply it, Adrena, and everyone. Let's examine ourselves. Where am I today with my relationship? Where am I today in relations to what began yesterday week on Palm Sunday? Beloved, God still despises sin. God continues to despise sin. God continues to show his reactions to our sin, to our disobedience. That's why we have the opportunity, as we have now, as we live, to come and make good of God's gracious mercy, not neglect and abuse. Just because we came that one time or three times a year to the church, the CEOs, the Christmas, Easter, and the Oshana or the Hosannas, that is not a relation. That is not respecting and commemorating and honoring and valuing what Jesus Christ suffered for you and I. Have we come to a realization that I am incapable of receiving redemption unless it be through Jesus Christ? The old law, the ancient law, the law of the flesh has been fulfilled. Man could not make anything of it. Christ fulfilled it, and he gave you and I a spiritual law written on our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Do we understand that we have the laws of Christ to live by? Do we know that God is still expressing his love and his desire to reinstate you and I. Where are you at right at this moment? Examine yourself. I can't see through this camera, but I'm sure there's someone driving, someone's cooking, someone's vacuuming, someone's doing whatever. I'm sure that if you are examining yourself and if there is conviction, let me give you some heart. If there is any conviction right at this moment, praise God. Praise God, because your conscience is not dead. Your conscience is alive. The Spirit of the Lord is still working in you. If there is any conviction, that's okay. Just admit and confess that I cannot receive any redemption. It's only through Christ. And if I am the lowest of the lowest, the sinners of the sinners, the prostitute of the prostitutes, the drug dealers of the drug dealers, the gamblers of the gamblers, the blasphemers of the blasphemers, I am the pupil of God, and God sent his son to die for me. What do I need to do? Is go back to Christ. Go back to Christ through his church. Speak to your spiritual counselor, beloved. Confession is not a dirty word. Confession is not a bad word. Confession is a blessing, is a sacrament, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Confess to the Lord. Confess to your spiritual counselor, to your priest, and he will give you the prescription that is befitting. You know, when you go to the doctor, you go in there and you tell him what your problem is, sore throat, coughing, itchy nose, whatever it is, scratchy ears, and he'll examine you and he will prescribe you the appropriate medicine. That medicine, that spiritual medicine, is in the hand of the physicians, which are the priests of the church. And the church is that spiritual drugstore, you want to call it, or chemist, or what I call pharmacy. We call it chemist in Australia. Know that it's there. It is always there. Not just that one time a year. And we, as I was mentioning today, last Wednesday, you know, the crocodile tears we shed because, oh, Jesus died for me. That's lip service, beloved. Where are we today? Know that sin is truly a dangerous and a serious act that we need to take extremely serious in our spiritual life. Proverbs 6:16-19, there are six things that the Lord God hates, and his soul has despised a seventh. Lofty eyes. What are your eyes doing right now? We say, marqat aynat, you know, makes it make the eyes dance. How are you using your eyes? Are your eyes causing you to sin? Gouge them. Not physically, no. Whatever is causing you to sin, stop it. If it's the internet, and I go to this extreme and people say, well, it depends how serious you are about a fallen state of man. If you're not, look at what Jesus had to do for you and I so that he can one more time reinstate, reconcile us with God the Father. If your eyes are causing you to sin, cut them out. Stop watching the television. Stop watching those channels. Stop going onto the internet and browsing through those websites where at the end of the, you know, you start off with Mickey Mouse, you end up with porn. That's what happens. I know. You're surprised now. How can a man of the cloth speak this way? Well, I need to speak this way because Jesus Christ spoke about these, and the scripture is quite vocal and echoing on this. False tongue. God hates a false tongue. Why do we have to deceive people? Why do we have to deceive ourselves? Hands that shed innocent blood. Now, this is not physically. Well, it's happening today. No, the crime rate is escalating to an amazing level in some cities. Right, that's one issue we have. That's for the politicians to take care of. We need to just pray about those people. But what about innocent? But what about gossiping? And what about lying and rumors we invent ourselves just to hurt people? You know, when you kill someone, you hurt someone. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah, words really do hurt. Sometimes actually sticks and stones don't hurt. If you're a very build-up, stocky person, sometimes the sticks don't hurt, but the words can crumble you. He hates the heart that makes plans of immorality. We have to speak about immorality today because it is so compromised, so normal. It's the norm now. Immorality is the norm now. And let me tell you, immoral people will not enter the kingdom of God. That's what the scriptures are saying. And if you think the scriptures are deceiving you and I, listen, let's pack it up and go. I got no time for this. I got no time to come and preach deception. But that's not the case. God hates the heart that makes plans for immorality. When you prepare yourselves to go out and you take protection. My beloved sisters and brothers, take protection. Why? Why do you need protection for? Why? If there's going to be no immorality, why do you need protection? You know what I'm talking about. God hates feet that hasten to run to evil. Quickly running to what is immoral, what is evil, what is against God's will. God hates a false witness who speaks lies, and God hates deception amongst brothers. That's why the churches are in these states, in where we are today, because of deception among brothers. So let's take it serious, beloved. Let's not just pat ourselves on the back because I went to the evening liturgical service for Easter and spent 10 minutes there and hang out in the car park, or car parking, you say, parking lot, we say in Sydney. You know, I know for a fact in Sydney, the St. Hermas Cathedral sees about 8,000 to 10,000 people attend. And all the youth I know hang out outside. They're smoking their dope. They're getting up to some immorality in their cars. You're listening. You're probably thinking, how does this man know? I know. I've been there, not done that. I've been there. I know what's happening. I've been told testimonies of those who feel so filthy when they think about these things. I know. We go to church, we hang out, we cuss, we check out the chicks, and the chicks are checking out the guys, and we claim that, hey, I did my part, I went to church. Best not to go to church if we have that mindset. So let's wake up. Jesus died for you and I, not for you, just to hang up a cross and put a black cloth on it and to change your profile on Facebook with a black ribbon and to quote scriptures and to feel sorry and, you know, oh, Good Friday, I feel sorry, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you and I so that he can cleanse sin, so that you and I can live sinless. Or let me rephrase that, so we can live in holiness. We're all sinners. Take serious what Jesus did for you and I, beloved. Read your holy scriptures. Attend Bible studies. Attend your church services. Be on fire for Jesus Christ. This world is going down. It's going so down that when the Lord returns, he will truly stamp upon it. And he will stand victorious. And you know who will resurrect to that victory? With the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have died in the hope of resurrection and have lived a pious life, pleasing and appeasing to the Lord God. In one of the liturgical prayers we prayed on the Sunday of the Hosannas, that Abraham will not give coolness to those who are burning in fire, and the judge will not pardon those who have not repented. Jesus came that we may have life through his death, but we live a life of repentance, producing glorious fruit for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and always and forever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.